So tonight, we're going to take our Bibles. We're going to go to Zephaniah chapter 2. That's right, people. Look alive. Zephaniah chapter 2. Right before the New Testament, all those tiny books there. Right after Habakkuk, before Zechariah. Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 3. Good old Zeph gets about 2.5 pages, so it's easy to blow by him. Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 3. It says, "Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be you shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger." So, in Zephaniah 2:3 here, it states that even the meek, because he's addressing the meek of the earth, even the meek should seek meekness. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. So it states that even the meek should seek meekness. And tonight I'm going to be sharing on meekness. Yeah. It also means, if God says we should seek it, that meekness and the qualities thereof can be found and can be learned. Right? Because God wouldn't tell you to look for something if you can't find it. That would be silly. So the first question we're going to look at tonight, our answer, is why should we want to learn meekness? Who cares? Is the question we're going to answer. Go to Psalm 37:11. Who cares, Zeph? Why should I care about meekness? Psalm 37:11. It says, "But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of what?" Ooh, that sounds delightful, isn't it? You can delight yourself in it. Inheriting the earth refers to the many benefits that are available to God's people. In the Old Testament times, they were servants, but we are sons, and so the benefits are greater. So when it talks about the meek inheriting the earth, it means that they're receiving the many benefits available to them from God. One of which is an abundance of peace. They're going to delight themselves in an abundance of peace. Because when you have the many benefits of God active and practicing in your life, then sure, it's easy to be peaceful. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. So that's a good reason. I'd say, Zeph, one of the reasons, because we can have an abundance of peace. Meek people will inherit the earth. They'll exercise the blessings of God. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may also without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great," what? "Price." A meek and a quiet spirit here is associated with obedience and subjection. It's addressed to wives, but the principle is that part of being meek is associated with obedience and subjection. In our case, that's to God and His Word. And it says in verse 4, the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price, of great value. It's very important. God values it very highly. So it's something that God values very highly. So that's another reason why we should do it. God values it very highly. Go to James chapter 3. A couple pages back, James chapter 3, verse 13. It says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Which one of you is a wise man? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. So meekness here is a part of the application of wisdom. It's part of the application applying wisdom in your life. If a person is wise, then they're going to show that wisdom with a good conversation of works with meekness. Okay? So meekness is a part of the application of wisdom. So that's why another great reason that we would want to learn or practice meekness in our life is to put on wisdom. Part of applying wisdom is to be meek. If you're thinking that... So, the opposite of being meek, I guess we should talk about that too, because sometimes it's helpful to understand what something is when you know what it isn't. Like, when you're not meek, it's when you're haughty, or you think you're really important or better than something, or you know best about something. That's what it is to not be meek. Someone would say, hey, you know, you could get that done a lot faster if you use this tool next to you, and you say, no! I know what I'm doing! And then 4 hours later, you're still using the butter knife to chop through the steak or something. Right? If somebody gives you instruction and you're not meek to it, then it can't help you. And that's why it leads to wisdom. Because you're willing to accept and listen to instruction that could help you, that could make you wise. Go to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, verse 2. It says, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but instead gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. So we're instructed here to show meekness to everyone. And a part of that is to be gentle, to not speak evil, to not be someone who gets into fights or to arguments. It's to be a brawler, but to be gentle. And part of that is showing meekness unto all. When you think you know better, you tend to be very combative. You tend to be very argumentative because, hey, you know what's best, right? But the Word of God says that we should be meek. And because we're meek, we can be gentle. It's part of being gentle. It's part of being kind. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. So I think Zephaniah had the right idea. We can tell good old Zeph why we should be meek now. Why should we want to learn meekness? We can seek it. We can learn it. 1 Peter 3:14. But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, or reverence and respect, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation, your good way of living in Christ. So if our conversation, our behavior is good, then this implies faithfulness and obedience to God's word, which we will see is closely related to meekness. Okay? It's closely related to meekness. So we want our conversation to be good, and that implies meekness. And there are two men in the word that are specifically cited as being meek, and that's Moses and Jesus Christ. So we're going to take a look at a couple records of both of these men, get some great examples of meekness. Okay, go to Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12, verse 3. So meekness is something that can be sought after. It's very precious to God. One of the great benefits of God, it brings peace. It helps us to be gentle, helps us to be wise and instructed. And we're going to see examples of men who put this into practice. Numbers chapter 12, verse 3. Now the man, Moses, was very stuck up and pretentious. He was a real J-bag. Could you imagine if it's a real J-bag? That would be funny. Now the man, Moses, was very meek. Very meek. He wasn't just meek. He was very meek. Above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. You know what that means? He was the meekest. It's above all of them. That puts him at the top. He's the meekest. That's what the word of God says. Verse 7. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. I will speak to him with plain speech, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak? Why not, is the question. Why are you not then therefore afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Oh, wow, that's a pretty big deal. That's a pretty big deal. So Moses was called the meekest. And here God is expounding to the people what a servant that Moses, the kind of servant that Moses was. That he was a faithful servant in all that God asked him to do. To the point where God spoke plainly with him, mouth to mouth, face to face. And he asks, you know, why aren't you paying him the proper respect? You should be afraid to speak against Moses because I've got his back, right? That's what the word of God is saying. Because I've got his back. Go to Exodus 33, verse 5. So that's how God describes Moses as a man of great meekness. In fact, the meekest. Exodus 33, verse 5. For the Lord had said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. It's a big insult. You are stiff-necked people. Stubborn. That's also the opposite of being meek. It's to be stubborn, to be stuck in the way that you think. I will come up in the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. So God is describing the children of Israel as a stiff-necked people. However, Moses was faithful. Moses was a man of great faithfulness and meekness. And he was the only reason that the children of Israel lasted as long as they did. When Israel complained about not having meat, that all they got to eat was manna from heaven. Yikes. It grieved God and it grieved Moses. Moses prayed on their behalf, and God mercifully gave instruction to them. Okay, Moses carried it out and God supplied. And that's what happened in Numbers 11, if you want to look at it sometime. But that's what Moses would do. Was he would pray for the people. He would go to God on their behalf, even when they were being big whiners and jerks, and ask God to take care of them. And God granted Moses that prayer because he was faithful and meek. Moses allowed God to guide his heart and decision making. He went to God and asked God what to do. And in turn, he could ask God for stuff. He could go to God on Israel's behalf and ask for things. And God would answer his prayers. Go to Numbers 9. Numbers 9, verse 8. So when we're meek, we're practicing that presence of God in our lives. We're willing to listen, to hear from him, to not assume that we know best. When God is giving us manna from heaven every day to eat while we're in the desert, we're thankful and we're blessed and we're happy. We're not complaining about not dying in the desert. Numbers 9, verse 8. And Moses said unto them, stand still, and I will hear what the Lord will command concerning you. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if any man of you or of your posterity shall be unclean by reason of a dead body or be in a journey afar off, yet he shall keep the Passover unto the Lord. Okay? That was the instruction. Verses 6 and 7, could get a running start, we probably have a little bit here, but they were basically asking him what to do. There were certain men who were defiled of the dead body of a man that they could not keep the Passover on that day, and they came before Moses and before Aaron on that day. And those men said unto him, we are defiled by the dead body of a man. Wherefore are we kept back, that we may not offer an offering to the Lord in his appointed season among the children of Israel? Or is that what's going to happen to us? Can you tell? You know, we didn't mean to touch the body, but now we're stuck. We can't do this. What does it mean? What does it mean? Because they were supposed to make this offering to the Lord, but they were unclean according to the law. What does it mean? And you have to remember, who did God give the law to?
Moses.
Yeah, good. Yes, Moses. So God just like laid out his instruction to his people not long ago. This wasn't like something that was there for generations and generations and all the stuff that they were used to living by this law. God had just sort of given it to them not long ago. Said, this is what you're supposed to do. And so it's all kind of new. And so it's sort of an honest question. Like, oh no, we touched the dead body. That means we're smart. You know, what do we do? And so Moses just didn't say like, let me think about that. Okay, do whatever. Sure, you're clean. That's fine. We'll excuse that. It says in verse 8, Moses said unto them, stand still. Don't move. I'll go ask God what we should do. Before we do anything else, before you start touching other people or whatever, I don't know. This is all new to me. Let me go ask God. And then God tells them what to do. That's great meekness. He didn't analyze the situation and take his best stab at it, his best guess. And that's a pretty noble thing to try to do, right? To try to lead, to try to make a decision on the behalf of the people. I mean, that's what leaders do. But Moses took it a step further and said, you know what? You just wait right there. Let me go ask God. And that should be our attitude. That's an attitude of meekness. He was still a leader, but he also knew when to ask God to help make a decision. Go to Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. So that was Moses. And that's how he lived his life. And Moses did a great many amazing things. All the stuff that he did to the Egyptians with the plagues, all the stuff that he did in the Exodus with the Red Sea. He saw God face to face. He was given God's word in the form of the law. I mean, he's an amazing man. But he was the meekest. And that's the key to all of that. That ties it all together. He didn't get there without being meek. Jesus Christ was the meekest man to have ever lived. He took Moses' place at the top of the meekest list. In Matthew 11, 29, it says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So Jesus Christ says that he is meek. He is lowly in heart. And many people today associate meekness with this idea of being soft or being introverted or being weak. That a meek person, that's what describes a meek person, right? That they're soft or that they're weak. And that's not what the Word of God says. It does not mean that you get stepped all over by the people or stepped on by the people around you. It just simply means that it's obedience and faithfulness to God and His Word. That you do the will of the Father. And it says here that we can do as Jesus did. We can learn from his example. It says that we can take his yoke upon us and learn of his example. Go to John chapter 6, 38. John chapter 6, verse 38. So being meek isn't being weak. It actually takes a lot of strength to be able to say, you know what, I'm going to let somebody else tell me what to do. I'm going to let somebody else give me instruction and guide me. I'm going to be faithful to that. That takes a commitment. It's easy to do whatever you want to do. It's a lot harder to obey, right, kids?
Right.
But anybody who's worked with children knows that. It's way easier for kids to do whatever they want. It's way more difficult for them to learn to obey and listen. But that's what it is to be me. John 6, 38. And this is why Jesus Christ was meek. "For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, not whatever I want to do, but the will of him who" what? "Sent me." Jesus was human, right?
Oh, he was human.
Yeah.
Jesus was human, right?
Yeah.
There we go. He was. He was tempted just like us, like you and me. He was human just like you and I are human. He had the same desires and temptations befall him. And it wasn't always easy to walk the path that God wanted him to do. But his attitude, his faithfulness was that he was going to do what God wanted him to do, even though it was really tempting to do something else. He was going to do what God wanted him to do. John chapter 12, verse 27. And that's what it is to be meek. To do what God wants you to do instead of what you want to do. And that's not always easy. Right? God has a will for your life. It's in His Word. And sometimes we can just say, I don't really feel like doing that today. I don't feel like I'm walking according to the Word. I'd rather just do this instead. But if Jesus Christ did that, He would have blown the whole thing, right? He would have blown the whole thing. John 12, 27. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. And this is talking about the hour of His crucifixion. That Jesus Christ was like, yeah, I'm troubled. This doesn't look good for me. And he asked God to save him. If there's anything you can do, God, let's work it out. But he also said, whatever you want done, that's what's going to happen. Matthew 26, 42. We'll see it here. Matthew 26, 42. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And that was Jesus Christ's attitude, even toward the very action or the very thing that was going to result in his death. Nobody wants to die, was in the right mind. Wants to die, but God's instruction for him was, you have to lay down your life. And he said, okay. Sure, it troubled him. Sure, it grieved him. It was a big deal. It was a heavy thing. Not like Jesus was like, okie doke, pop. But he did it. He was obedient to it. Because that's what God's will was. Go to Philippians chapter 2. And he knew that God would take care of him. Even in all that, he knew that God would take care of him. So you see that it starts to get easier and make more sense to be meek when you have confidence in God, when you know that He's going to take care of you. When you're confident that God's going to supply your need, that God's going to take care of these things in your life, then it gets easier to be meek to that. Because then you have a trust that, hey, I can walk out and do this thing that might sound crazy or might be uncomfortable, but you can trust that God will take care of you. Philippians 2:8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And that's what Jesus Christ did. He humbled himself. To be meek is to be humble. That's part of being meek, is to be humble. And he humbled himself. He became obedient unto death. And God took care of him. And if he didn't do that, he would have blown the whole thing. And we wouldn't be where we were today. Both of these men applied great meekness in their lives. It boils down to a sustained, faithful endeavoring to receive and carry out the will of God. That's what meekness is. It's a sustained, and that's the hard part, faithful endeavoring to receive and carry out the will of God. That day after day you have to say, okay, I'm going to do the will of God. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to do what... Do you think there was a morning that Jesus Christ woke up and was like, damn, I'm just so tired right now. I would rather just do this instead of going out and taking care of people, healing people and listening to their complaints, healing lepers who just walk away from me and don't even say thank you. You think there was a morning where he felt like that? If he was like, screw it, I'm done. I just need one day. God will understand. That would have been it. He wouldn't have walked perfectly, right? But he had to make that choice. He wasn't a robot. He wasn't forced to do it. He made a choice to do it every single day. And that's why he's the meekest man to ever live. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Because he made that commitment. Now, none of us are perfect. But we can strive to walk like Christ as best as we can. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of who? Christ. And that was Christ's obedience, right? Christ obeyed even unto death. That's the example. And God's word says that we are to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against God's word. There's lots of stuff that exalts itself against God's word, right? The world will tell you all kinds of things that sound really fun and really awesome that are just straight contrary to God's word. And the word of God says that we're to cast those things down. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, right? They're in our brains. We're not pulling out bazookas and shooting each other. We're devil spirits. It's in our minds. It's in our spirit. We got to do things not in the physical realm, but with our brains. We've got to renew our minds, casting down imaginations. We got to throw it out. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Just like he obeyed, we're to bring our thoughts into obedience too. That's God's instruction for us. Go to James chapter 1. Just a couple more verses here. So Zeph told us that it was available to seek after meekness. And God tells us that's how he wants us to live. Obediently. James chapter 1, verse 21. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. And that word save there is not like to get saved, as in, you know, getting Holy Spirit, getting born again. But that word is able to save our souls, to bring us great deliverance and healing. That's what the save there is, like great deliverance in our lives. So if there's something in our lives that's messing with us, then receiving God's word with meekness, being obedient to it, to carry it out and to walk on it, will save you. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We are fellow laborers with God, right? We work together with him. We don't have to paint the whole porch ourselves. God's there to help us get it done. Okay? And that makes it a lot easier. But an intense desire for fellowship is at the center of meekness. Go to Psalm 25, verse 9. That's at the center of meekness. So if you want, I want to put meekness on in my life. Justin, thank you for sharing this tonight. I really want to put it on in my life. What do I do? How do I make it happen? It starts with a desire to fellowship with God. That's at the center of meekness. just pray about it. Think about it. Think on it. Dwell on it for a little bit. And say, you know, I want to fellowship more with you, God. And put a plan into action. Get into a routine. Set an alarm. Put in reminders. Write something on a calendar. Tie a string around your finger. Whatever you want to do. But start putting it at the forefront of your brain somehow. So that you think about it more. Right? That's all you got to do. Is you got to think about it more. The more you think about something, the more it becomes a habit pattern. So the more we want to build our fellowship and our relationship with God, we just got to start small with the steps. The steps are to put it into practice, to start remembering and thinking of God throughout the day. Not just early in the morning when we first get up. It's great, great way to start the day, but don't leave him behind when you go out the front door. Put it into practice. 25:9. The meek will he guide in judgment. The meek will he teach his way. Well, that sounds pretty good. So if we're meek, God's going to show us how to do stuff. He's going to guide us. He's going to teach us. I'm pretty sure that he knows best. Go to Psalm 37, verse 11. It said before that there'd be great peace in our lives if we're meek. That we'll inherit the earth if we're meek, which means we'll receive all these blessings of God. He'll show us stuff. He'll work with us. And that's what we want as Christians, right? How many times have we said, man, I really want God to do something awesome in my life. I really want to be like those guys I read about in the Bible. It starts with meekness. 37:11 again, but the meek shall inherit the earth. They'll have all the blessings of God and delight themselves in an abundance, a richness of peace. A richness of peace. We won't be worried. We won't be stressed. We won't be bugged out because we'll be meek and we'll be peaceful. Finally, Isaiah chapter 29, verse 19. It looks like Zeph was on something. Telling us to seek after meekness. We have great examples in the Word of God on men who were meek and how they lived their lives. So start practicing God's presence in your life more, and then once you start building that up, start looking at what these guys did. How did they live their lives? What kind of choices did they make? Isaiah 29:19. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord. And the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. The meek will increase their joy in God. They'll just be happy on the inside all the time, walking with God. The most important blessing out of all of this is the growth in your personal relationship with God. Look at Moses and Jesus, right? Man, did they walk with God? Did they have conversations with him? Did they sit down and talk it out and get answers? All the time. All the time. What a blessing that's got to be, right? And it starts with meekness.